It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
You ready? You ready for some great callers? Some objective callers? How about this Bama fan? I-Man is up next.
More damn Eagle. War Florida State, War Michigan, War Washington.
You're just for everybody, aren't you?
Well, not quite everybody.
Everybody but.
Everybody but the little fellers. You know, Paul, you made a comment yesterday about Cat Daddy to that fella that's got all them stomped out black hats. The Cat Daddy wasn't the caller of the year, and seems to me, Cat Daddy won that election. He won it by.
Well, you know what? I've gone to court and tried to overthrow that election. Has that ever been done before?
It didn't work. It didn't work.
Well, it's not over yet. I got a few more courts to go to. I went to state court, federal court, local court. Now I'm going to the people's court.
And guess what? The people voted for Cat Daddy.
And I filed an injunction. Just today with Judge Judy.
Yeah, and guess what? She likes Cat Daddy, too.
So far, I haven't gone very far.
You haven't got very far at all, and you can go to the sidebar, and you can get a Subway sandwich, a shot of tequila, and guess what? It's still going to be Cat Daddy. And then we heard from the black hat fella, it's all about him. I mean, it's all, they just didn't want me. They didn't like me. Well, hell no, they didn't. They voted for Cat Daddy. Isn't that obvious to that damn black hat dude? I mean, don't he get it? Don't he understand that the people voted for Cat Daddy? And they did not vote for black hats. They don't give a damn if you give them artificial black hat over the hair. They voted for Cat Daddy. Why? Because Cat Daddy's a likable guy. Cat Daddy has fun. Now, Paul, you said something the other day that intrigued me on several different things.
Okay.
You said the playoff money was already in the bank. How is the playoff money already in the bank when the playoff money really hinges on viewerships for the commercials? That's where the money comes from, right?
No. Money comes from the rights fees.
The rights fees.
Which are, so the playoff was up for bid. ESPN got the exclusive contract. It will come up for bid again in 2 years. And then, I mean, college sports, professional sports, the money is on the front end, the rights fees. Yeah, you can make variables, but I don't know this for a fact, but I'm guessing that the ad revenue has already been calculated. Ratings matter for the next time around, not for this time around. Am I right? You're in TV.
Okay.
So if the game is seen by 19 million people or 25 million people, it's not really going to change. It will help you sell the game the next time.
Listen, Paul, quit obfuscating. You kind of covered that. Now we're moving to another topic. Now, David,
I tell you what, when you start throwing that obfuscate to me, I'm getting uptight.
You're getting nervous.
You start to use my own words against me.
Well, that's what you do best. You listen to this program and you use what they say against them. And if it happens to be words like obfuscate, then so be it. But now, what happened to David Pollack? How come he got let go of ESPN? Was it because he went toe-to-toe with Saban on the air?
I mean, you are well aware that I'm just an hourly employee at the network. I do not make those decisions.
Yeah, but listen, you know where all the bodies are buried.
I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, hey, by the way, at the White House, they would say, can I get back to you on that?
Well, we're talking about it now.
Okay.
I mean, listen, y'all are the most obfuscating bunch of folks. I mean, y'all putting everything off next year. I mean, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Can I get back to you tomorrow on that? I tell you what, we don't have to get back on.
Well, just leave your name or number, and I'll have one of our staff people research it.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you one thing that we can leave on: War Damn Eagle and the Cat Daddy won the popular vote, and that's it. That's case closed.
Popular vote doesn't matter. It's the Electoral College.
That's right.
I maintain Legend won the Electoral College.
Well, I maintain he didn't. I mean, you know, you can only give out so many black hat, fictitious black hats. I mean, where are you going to wear that damn thing to? War Damn Eagle, Paul, we're only getting faster. Have a good afternoon. War Florida State.
Legend is next.
Man, that ain't a little feller. That's a yellow feller right there. That's a yellow feller. He don't smoke too much of that yellow wood. Quit smoking that yellow wood,
hey,
dude.
Legend, give the man a break. I mean, who knows what he did at Woodstock in 1969?
I know he's got that damn air-conditioned stuff snorting it out there every day, ripping them folks off. Think they're getting a gallon worth Freon. They get about a half gallon. He's snorting the other half like they snorted paint back in Walker County back when I was young. Yeah, he's a snorter, Paul. You can tell he's a snorter. All he talks about is Alabama, Alabama, the legend. Now, we all know that them Georgia ballot boxes were stuffed. We know it, Paul. They hate me. They hate me. I don't care. I don't particularly care for them. We don't care. I don't care. Congratulations, Cat Daddy. Hey, Paul, but talking about the Georgia Bulldogs, I would like to thank them for Jermaine Burton. One of my favorite Alabama players, baby, Jermaine Burton. Thank you, Georgia. And for that guy that called him a punk the other day, you the punk. Y'all called Jermaine Burton y'all sixth best receiver. We don't want him. Let me tell you something. If you'd had Jermaine Burton and Mitchell from Texas this year, your ass might be in the playoffs right now. And thank you for T. Marshall, too. Thank you, Georgia. Thank you. Hey, Paul, my friend David Montgomery, who was the best man at my last wedding, great friend of mine, he brought something to my attention today. I think me and you need to have a black hat sit down for a second. What's this Desmond Howard bull crap that he's running out of his little weasel wide receiver mouth? What's he talking about, Paul?
Well, Legend, I don't want to sound like I am the White House press secretary, but that is a subject that I am going to choose to leave to others.
Right, I'll do it then. You're a weasel little wide receiver. I ain't never liked you on the air. Ever since I've heard you on the air, your takes are most of the time stupid. How dare you question one of the great sportscasters, a Southern legend like the Feinbaum? Won't you keep your mouth shut? Talking about you going to call Feinbaum out after Michigan beats Alabama. You'll be waiting a long damn time to make that call, brother. Now, Paul, I had to say, though, your enemy list, dude, is getting big.
I can agree with you, and I can comment on that. It is growing. And I think you can always tell a man by who hates him the most.
Yeah, it's not the folks that love you that makes you. It's the folks that hate you.
And right now, it's been a rough month for me and celebrity enemies.
Yeah, I was thinking today the Michigan fans hate you, FSU hates you, Ric Flair hates you, Desmond Howard hates you, and then I was reading some of this stuff on social media, Paul. How bad these folks are talking about my brother. And I just like to address all you little Twitter gangsters on Twitter, the X, or whatever the hell they call it now. You have some nerve calling the Feinbaum callers pathetic and low life. When I read some of the crap I read today, one FSU fan said this is the fifth day in a row that he hopes a bird craps in your eye, Paul. I mean, just crazy stuff like that. You have the nerve to call Feinbaum callers pathetic and low life. You Twitter gangsters don't get no more pathetic and low life because you're a bunch of cowards that wouldn't dare say something to the man's face, but you'd write it on your little tweet section. You're the coward little Twitter gangster. And let me tell you something about the Feinbaum Show. You think Georgia is a dynasty? You think Alabama is a dynasty? I want to tell you who the real damn dynasty is. It's the Paul freaking Feinbaum Show. When you got a lineup like Feinbaum, Randy, Jerome, you got Jim, Legend, Augie, Ivan, the Handsome One, Squirrel, Bubba. The New York Yankees couldn't buy that damn lineup. This is a damn dynasty. And anybody that want to come after it, you are wasting your damn time because we ain't doing nothing but getting better and better, baby. So keep on hating, you little Twitter gangster, because you are the lowlife, brother, not the Feinbaum Show. And let me say this, Paul, before I get off. I think it's a real radio coward that don't call in, Darryl, after your team loses a game. Would you agree or not, Paul?
I would completely and totally agree on that. And we knew that was going to happen, Legend. I mean, there are certain callers that go in witness protection, and he was the safest bet. What about your buddy out in California, Dr. Bulldog, remember?
Dr. Bulldog. He's at a psychiatrist right now.
but Darryl has been the show's best known Georgia guy for many, many years, even though a lot of Georgia people don't appreciate that. But I'm saddened by Darryl being cowardly, because he's a Marine. He served this country. He talks a big game, and he goes underground.
You're too coward to pick up the phone. Hey, when Alabama lost to Texas, did I not come on here and say, good loss? Good loss.
You
remember me saying that? Good loss. And guess what? It was. And let me say this about Texas in closing. So you got Texas in the SEC. This is their first week, right, in the SEC?
When that Big 12 championship game ended, Texas became a member of the Southeastern Conference, in my opinion.
So Texas been in the SEC 1 week. They already in the playoffs. How long A&M been in the league?
Since 2012.
Woo! Talk about Auburn, Alabama. Auburn, you're a yellow man. Leave that yellow wood alone. You delusional psycho moron. Legend has left the bill.
And we are back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
There's been a lot of conversation here, but I haven't really been able to talk to any of our friends down in Georgia who cover the Bulldogs to get the aftermath of what went down Saturday night, what it means moving forward as we take a different look at the Dogs. Connor Raleigh joining us. Connor, always good to see you. Thank you very much. So take it from the top. What's the mindset? What's the mood of that program right now?
Yeah, I think from a fan base standpoint, there are a lot of people that are frustrated with what happened on Saturday. You know, the last time Georgia played Alabama, they obviously beat them in the national championship game, but they're now 0-4 against Alabama in SEC championship games. Kirby Smart is 0-4 against Nick Saban in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, you know, maybe unlike some past games against Alabama where Alabama was just clearly the better team, Alabama was the better team on Saturday. They played better. But I think for this time, it was more of self-inflicted wounds from Georgia, whether it be play calling, whether it be some of the injuries that they established. It felt like more this time around, it was things that Georgia did in contrast to the way that they had played all season, rather than Alabama just being, I think, the Alabama of old and just sort of juggernauting you to death. This was a game that was very winnable for Georgia, and it came down to 3-4 plays where Alabama was able to make them, and Georgia, despite so often doing so in the previous 29-game win streak, including one game against Alabama, just couldn't.
I mean, let's address the Brock Bowers situation, because everybody has a theory on that, but you've covered it. Did he come back too soon?
I don't think so. And the thing to know about Brock, like, this was 100% a him decision. You know, obviously Georgia's going to make him healthy and want him to be the best version of himself. But the same Brock Bowers that comes in and tears up college football right away and scores 13 touchdowns as a freshman is the same Brock Bowers that is going to push through an injury and want to be out there and want to go play. And so, you know, I understand maybe the idea of pushing him, you know, and wanting him to come back so soon. And in reality, Georgia obviously didn't need him to beat Ole Miss. They didn't need him to beat Tennessee, where it did seem like he re-aggravated that injury, at least somewhat. Kirby Smart chalked it up to soreness. I don't think they pushed him to come back too soon. I don't think that Brock Bowers' injury...
But Connor, whether they push him or not, I mean, they could have said, Brock, we're not going to let you play until we're 100%. I mean, it's their decision. He can't just walk out there and play.
I think the Georgia medical doctors cleared him, and Brock Bowers is someone that wants to go out there and wants to play. It's a big reason why he is the way he is.
Whether he should have played or not, do you think it was a mistake?
I don't think it was a mistake. I think it's Brock Bowers' health. Brock Bowers made the decision. Obviously, Georgia cleared him, and I understand why some people might be skeptical to that fact. But again, it's Brock Bowers' choice. So you shouldn't, I think, hold out a player that is clearly healthy enough because he wants to get out there and play.
What would you say was his percentage of health Saturday night?
I would say he's probably about 80% healthy.
At 100%, would that have made a difference on a couple of plays?
On a couple of plays, sure, but I don't necessarily know that it was the difference in the game. If anything, I think the Amarius Mims injury had a bigger impact on Georgia and what they were and weren't able to do in that game. And so I do think that I understand why some people would point to that, but it's not just the Brock Bowers injury, in my opinion. It's the Brock Bowers injury on top of the Ladd McConkey injury, on top of the Amarius Mims injury. This was just not a healthy offense. And to Georgia's credit, it was not a healthy offense all year. Mims, McConkey, and Bowers were really only healthy for one game, and that was the Ole Miss game this year. And so that's just sort of the reality of this team. But I do think that this offense was not at 100%. And while I understand people saying, oh, they should have maybe held Brock out, my understanding is the injury, it was more like a soreness thing. It wasn't something he could go out there and physically not do. It was just sort of the impact of going out there and playing on it. And with ankles, it's not a sort of 100% thing. It's just sort of a lingering issue.
Well, I would much rather have had 100% Brock Bowers, but he was at 80%, whatever that means, I don't know. Let me ask about the play calling. You mentioned that a minute ago. What are you talking about, and what specifically are we discussing here?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of criticism of Mike Bobo, and some of it is fair, some of it is obviously not. But I think, and I mentioned the Amarius Mims injury right there, when he went out after Georgia's second drive of the game, I felt that there was a slight shift in the way that Mike Bobo went about doing things. And he was fearful is maybe not the right word, but concerned about what Alabama's pass rush could do with guys like Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell. And after Mims goes out, they call six straight run plays. And you know, over the course of those drives, after Mims goes out, Georgia doesn't score again for the first half. And while they do make some adjustments in the second half, including another change in the offensive line there, I think some of the play calling is a way to maybe protect the offensive line and not necessarily put the ball in the hands of Carson Beck, I think is rightfully drawing some criticism there. But there's also the aspect that I just think Georgia's offensive line got outplayed by Alabama's defensive line. And some of that, you know, can be chalked up to Mike Bobo. Some of that can just talk to, as Kirby Smart said afterwards, Alabama just whipping Georgia up front. And so I think the two things sort of work hand in hand together. But it was not Mike Bobo's sharpest day on Saturday. He'll tell you as much. The numbers will as well.
Well, it was only the biggest game of the year and the game that destroyed Georgia's chances of doing what it wanted to do. As far as Georgia not making the playoffs, what's been the conversation?
Yeah, I don't think there's the same level of outrage that Florida State has. Obviously, I think Kirby Smart and Georgia believe that Georgia is one of the four best teams in college football. I think anyone that has watched Georgia play this year, it believes that Georgia is one of the four best teams in football. But, and this is, in my opinion, what makes the Florida State discussion so disheartening. The games have to matter. Georgia had a chance to win its way into the college football playoff on Saturday. They had to beat an Alabama team based off what we've seen over the course of this season, I think was better than Alabama. But Alabama found a way to be the better team on Saturday and win that game. And while it's maybe not fair and you know, exclusive and it's hurting of Georgia, a team that I think is clearly one of the teams very capable of winning a national championship, when the games do matter, you have to be able to go out there and win them. And because this year, because there was an undefeated Washington team, an undefeated Michigan team, a one-loss Texas team, and an undefeated Florida State team that is out of the college football playoff as well, there's some frustration there that, you know, I think a year from now when they have a 12-team playoff, the loss won't sting quite as much. But there aren't people out there that saying, oh, Georgia should absolutely be in, because I think a lot of this fan base know, and this team does as well, their chance was actually right there in front of them, and they didn't go out and perform on Saturday. And I know there are a lot of people in that building far more upset about how they played on Saturday than what the committee decided to do on Sunday.
The bowl game is straight ahead. How much does it matter, or how little does it matter?
It matters a little bit in the sense that there is going to be a lot of turnover on this team next year, and there's going to be a want to see this team go out there and play well, specifically some of the young players, because I do think that that does have some carryover into the offseason. Look, this is a Georgia program that, while, yes, they've been to back-to-back college football playoffs, they've also been in a situation where they had a chance to get into the college football playoff and lost that SEC championship game before. So unlike Florida State, it's not an unfamiliar situation for Kirby Smart and this staff. They understand, I think, the value of going out and winning. I think you saw with that 2020 bowl win over Cincinnati, the comeback effort. That sort of carried Georgia into a strong offseason, got a lot of buy-in from a lot of juniors, a lot of younger players, and then that carries over into the early part of the 2021 season where they beat Clemson and established themselves as the premier team in the sport at that time. So I think, you know, obviously there are going to be opt-outs. You know, I would be surprised if Brock Bowers decides to play in this game, or at least in a meaningful role anyway. But there are...
Well, hold on 1 second. Who else do you think will opt out and... What is this? We've already seen some Georgia players in the portal. Where are we on that?
Yeah, 11 players are in the portal for Georgia right now. Only one of those, I believe, has stated his interest to go and play in the bowl game. I would be surprised if Brock Bowers plays, or at least in a meaningful role. He might play like a series or two and sort of get a ceremonial send-off like DeAndre Swift did in the 2019 Sugar Bowl. I'd be surprised if Ladd McConkey plays. I'd be surprised if Amarius Mims plays. And then maybe on the defensive side, linebacker Smile Munden was pretty banged up, and I'm not necessarily sure he's going to play either. So, you know, there are going to be a few draft-eligible guys that opt out. But for the most part, leaders like, say, Cedric Van Pran, running back Kendall Milton. Kendall Milton has already said he's going to intend on playing in this game. I think for the most part, this is a veteran team, and the culture that Kirby Smart has built encourages guys to go and play in this game.
Listen, you can't take anything away from an amazing accomplishment. We're talking about breaking every record, but how hollow does it all feel today knowing that Alabama is heading to the playoffs?
I would say, you know, in the entirety of the two-year run, you know, the back-to-back national championships, Alabama can't take that away. I would say it does hurt. It certainly hurts this 2023 team in particular, especially because of the fact that Alabama bookends the streak. You know, it started after a loss to Alabama, and it ends with a loss to Alabama. And fair or not, for all that Georgia has accomplished, it is still going to be measured by how it does against Alabama. And I think maybe that's why there's some level of frustration or disappointment coming out of this game, because if you had won, you'd have won two in a row against Alabama. You would have beaten them in the SEC championship. You would have potentially gone on to win a third straight national title there. And so because that opportunity was right there in front of you, and you do some of the things where it harkens back to, oh, we can't get over Bama, there's this Alabama boogeyman, I don't think that that's the reason that Georgia lost on Saturday. There's not this fear of Alabama that I do think was once there, certainly among the fan base. But it does sting to the fact that this is an Alabama team that has for so long tormented this Georgia program, has been the sort of carrot that Kirby Smart and the staff are chasing. And to have a chance to finally really, I think, pull ahead from that and pull away from that, and then just let it slip through your fingers, is what makes the events of Saturday all the more frustrating.
Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Thank you very much, Connor. Appreciate you coming on. We head to the break right now. Your phone calls the rest of the way.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Zach is up next in Louisiana.
What's going on, Paul?
Hello, Zach.
Hey, man, I just want to lay something out real quick. I'm pretty sure it's true, so... I know you've been saying people need to get over the Florida State deal and all that, and I don't really care about the outcome of the whole thing myself, but I just want to say something. Let's say Clemson was the team that was 29-0, and Alabama was an undefeated SEC champion, and Florida State had one loss. If Florida State beat that Clemson team, two-time national champion, and they were 29-0, and the committee put them into the playoff in front of Alabama, we wouldn't be hearing the end of it from you or any of your little Bama cultists that call in here every day.
Well, hold on. Bama what?
Cultist.
You're talking like Manson, Jim Jones?
That yeah, type yeah, of yeah.
Branch
the
Davidian Koresh?
The Saban family cult, yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understand.
Family cult. Yeah.
That's quite a statement to make.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. It's kind of sickening. I mean, I think it's completely fine for FSU fans to be upset. I think you know they probably should have got in. They were undefeated. They did win their conference, and I mean that's just, you know, I think y'all would all be blubbering like little 5-year-old girls if it happened to y'all.
Well, I don't know, but I'm not even sure I can speak after what you just got through saying. I've never heard anything that offensive.
I didn't mean to offend you, Paul. I'm just laying out what I believe.
I mean,
to be
I'm not
truth.
Personally offended, but I'm culturally offended. Well, thank you very much for the call. Wow. Al is up next in Memphis.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you, buddy. Hello?
Yeah, we're great to have you back.
Okay, Paul, I got one question. Did you watch the political debate the other night, the Republican debate?
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Okay, because I was looking for Nick.
At least
to
I
be
found
on
out
there.
Where News Nation is.
Because I was looking for Nick to be on there because with his political pull, he would definitely get elected for the president.
Yeah, I once asked him about politics, and... He said he had no interest. His best friend's Joe Manchin. I think he made a mistake. Yeah. I don't think he made a mistake. I mean, he's about to win another national championship. But I think he would be great in the Senate.
Well, yeah.
And there was an open seat in Alabama last year that he could have run for. And two years before that, when the coach got it. Can you imagine Nick Saban pounding his fist at a Senate meeting? You know, think about this for a second, not to get political, but I will. Can you imagine the president of the University of Pennsylvania answering the questions that she answered 2 days ago about the tragic situation in Israel and getting those answers? I mean, Nick Saban would have he would have broken the table saying, answer the question. The country would have been riveted. Too late. Well, it's not never too late. You know what he ought to do? He ought to run against Tuberville the next time.
Oh, that'd be great.
AJ is up next.
You know, I finally figured out what legend is, Paul. He got that culinary degree over there, and all he is a damn appetizer. He calls in there at 5 or 5:15 and blows all that smoke, all them hopes and pipe dreams and all that. But what it all boils down to is the main course is calls in at 5:30, and that's the AJ Filet. So let me tell you something. Did I not hear you say, Paul, a while ago, you know a good football team when you see it? Did you?
I said that, yes.
Okay. Well, who was Alabama and Georgia's toughest win against? What football team, Paul?
Well, no, Alabama's.
I
thought I was going to answer the question.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we know Auburn, the answer. We know what you're going to say, so go ahead and say it.
It was Auburn, Paul. Non-biased, it's truth, it's facts, but, you know, there's not enough. I'm going to get off you because there really ain't enough meat on your bones. I'm going to move over here to these Alabama fans. They so ready to get Florida State to end this conversation. It's over. The decision's made. In all reality, that's true. But the thing about it, Paul, is if the shoe was on the other foot, it would be sheer pandemonium in Tuscaloosa if they got left out.
No, it wasn't. It happened last year, AJ, and there wasn't pandemonium. Well, a couple of people were upset, Paul, but we moved on.
This year they would kill their own damn trees, and you know it.
Well,
so,
that's sad.
But all I got to say is this Alabama fan base is a bunch of sleazy scumbags. All they are is a bunch of crybabies. They can't even win good. They got to win without class, and then they talk about Georgia. But when in all reality,
hey, AJ,
all
you're the one who promised me an Auburn victory a couple weeks ago. I'm still waiting for it. Augie is in New Orleans. Good afternoon.
So, Paul, we heard that Alabama is a cult, and AJ just said they're sleazy scumbag fans, right?
That's what he said.
I'm loving this. You know, this is great.
I just thought, Augie, with those kind of calls, you could really have a successful talk show every afternoon, couldn't you?
Well, that's what happens. It takes your first 2 hours to get rid of the fluff, and then as you get into hour 3 and 4 is when it really gets good.
Yeah, the big dogs hunt late on this show.
Well, that's right. They get hungry.
I have friends that will listen. They'll go work out the next morning, and they'll listen to the first hour, and I'm like saying, wrong hour.
Yeah, you got to call in at least about 4:15, 4:30.
Why do you think that is, Augie? Why do you think the later in the afternoon the calls get better?
Well, it's sort of like hanging out at night. The women get better looking the longer the bar stays open, you know? That's how it works. You got to get
built up. I've heard that country song.
Paul, that guy, that reporter from Georgia you just had on.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
Connor.
But he looks like this actor, and I had to look his name up, Will Poulter. He was the guy who played on We're the Millers. He was like the fake son.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like the guy, and he kept looking up in the air. Was there like a wasp nest in his house or something? Because he wasn't looking at his camera. He was looking up in the air. You need to give these guys some pointers on being on TV. Because
and you know who the worst one all year was on that, don't you?
Who?
Your guy, yeah.
Stephen M. I love
not Stephen M. BK.
Oh, yeah. Well,
BK never looked at the right camera this year.
I thought at the end he was looking at it, but I was.
I think the final segment he was close.
Well, I spent most of the year on BK's case. Not that I'm off of it, but BK's got a lot of work to do in the offseason.
He will get it done, Augie. I'm on the BK train. Yeah. We're up against a break. We'll be back right after this.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.